Good morning. It is 9:02 a.m. We are here today, October 24, 2013, in the OPA Hearing Room Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPA PA 13013, G4S Security Systems Guam Inc. versus Guam Department of Education. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Anthony R. Camacho. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Rodolyn Gerardo, Rachel Field, and Michelle Brillante. Will appellant G4S Security Systems Guam Inc. please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Ed Batanga, G4S Security Systems.
Seth Foreman, counsel for G4S. I believe we have Ms. Kathleen Brown, also present from G4S.
Will purchasing agency Guam Department of Education please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Andrew Perez, legal counsel for Department of Education. And with me is Marcus Pito, supply management administrator.
Thank you.
Okay, and just for the record, this isn't the formal hearing. This is the status hearing and the hearing on the appellant's motion to declare the automatic stay in effect. So we will proceed first with the status hearing. And at this point, have any of the parties requested a formal hearing?
Yes, Mr. Camacho. Actually, that's why I was 2 minutes late. I caught a slow elevator on the way up. I just filed a request. Can you provide you with a copy now?
That's okay. So you filed a request for a formal hearing, how about the timeline, just so you know, to do that is not yet passed. I believe that timeline expires the day the comments on the agency report are due, and I don't believe that's until October the 31st, with a slight extension due to Typhoon Francisco that passed. So you still have time to do so, but has DOE filed such a request?
No, we have not.
All right. And then, of course, at any time, now that you've filed that request, you can waive your right to a formal hearing and decide this matter based on the briefs. But at this point, we're not, believe the pleadings have not yet closed. So we will have a, pursuant to your request, at some point after this, a scheduled pre-hearing conference. Okay? Are there any other matters that we need to take up before we have the hearing on the motion?
Not that I know of, Mr. Camacho.
All right. Okay, just so let me see here. All right, so for the motion hearing, as this is the appellant's motion, Mr. Foreman, you will have the floor first to make your argument. Mr. Perez, you will follow with any opposition, and I will give Mr. Foreman a brief rebuttal period, as this is your motion, and you are the propounding party. Okay, are there any questions about the order? Very well. So with that, Mr. Foreman, you have the floor for your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Camacho. There's really not much to add to the briefs here. This is a single legal issue of just whether the procurement stay remains in effect during the time within which a protester whose protest has been denied could file an appeal, or if the agency can cut off the statutory period, you know, which runs for an appeal, can cut off the stay by just awarding a contract almost immediately after denial of a protest without waiting to see if there's an appeal. As noted in the briefings, there have been conflicting decisions from this agency. The most recent decision in the JMI Edison case ruled that the procurement stay does remain in effect until the time for appeal has expired. And either there's been no appeal, or if there is an appeal, then the stay remains in effect continuously. And it's G4S's position that The most recent decision is, should be controlling. Otherwise, you know, agencies are encouraged to essentially rush out and award contracts immediately after denying a protest and thwarting the whole statutory scheme of preserving the status quo and the bidder's rights until an appeal can be filed and heard. Beyond that, I think everything was covered in the briefing, so unless there are any questions, I would have nothing further pending possible rebuttal.
Okay. Okay. I have a couple questions for you, though. What statute, regulation, or case absolutely prohibits the purchasing agency from awarding a contract after denying a protest? Between the protest or the denial and the time period to file an appeal has expired? Because that's basically your argument.
I don't know if there's a statute which spells that out expressly, but you know, as the OPA ruled recently, just last month in JMI Edison, just viewing the statutory scheme as a whole and, you know, just applying a logical, you know, common sense construction to the statute, there's a right of appeal which can become meaningless if the stay doesn't remain in effect. And to the extent there is any wiggle room or ambiguity in the statute, the most logical construction would be that the stay does remain in effect until final resolution of the protest. Final including either lapse of time to appeal or decision on appeal.
So until the appeal period has run, is that correct? Is that how you would interpret it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And interpret what? Which statute?
Don't have the citation in front of me. I'll blame the elevator again.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's
as cited in your
quickly.
Brief. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
Because I note that you only cite the JMI Edison case, but you don't cite any of DOE's procurement regulations.
No, I would, to the extent, you know, DOE was a party in the JMI Edison, so that was all before the OPA at that time, including any argument based on the regulations. We would say the statute and the intent of the statute would prevail over any regulation.
And I do have to agree with you in that I believe this is somewhat of a gray area of law, that there is no long case, at least, exactly on point for this issue. Is there anything further in your motion, your main argument, Mr. Warman?
No other, well, I guess I'd be repeating myself at this time, reliance on the most recent decision, which also involved DOE, and just the public policy that if the stay doesn't remain in effect, even if the OPA were to ultimately rule in favor of the protesting bidder, the appealing bidder, you know, remedies would have already been lost. The ultimately prevailing party would be prejudiced.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Foreman. Mr. Paris, you have the floor for any opposition you may wish to argue at this time.
Yes, G4S relies on the order in JMI Edison, but I would put forth that the case that's cited in that order, which is in the appeal of IBSS, appeal number OPA PA 08-2021, 0012 is vastly different. The facts and circumstances of that case is vastly different than what's before the OPA today and was before the OPA in JMI Edison. I'll just lay out some of the facts in that case. In that case, GSA issued 6 RFPs for copy machines. IBSS protested all 6 before an award was made, and GSA denied the protest. IBSS appealed that denial, but the appeal was filed before an award was made. So it's vastly different from our case, or the case before the OPA today. What happened in this case was that G4S protested on September 16th. GDOE denied the protest on September 19th, and GDOE awarded the contract on the same day, September 19th, all before the appeal in this case was filed. So we put forth that order and the case cited in that order are just not applicable in the facts and circumstances of this case. And I would put forth that the controlling case that the OPA should use is her case in the appeal of Guam Publications, Inc., which is cited as OPA PA 08-0, excuse me. I believe, I don't have the exact site right now, but I could provide it for you later. But in that case, the OPA ruled.
It's in your brief, though, right?
Correct. But the facts in that case was that GSA issued a solicitation for newspaper publication services. And PDN appealed that solicitation and timely protested. GSA issued a denial of the protest. And after that denial, GSA moved forward and awarded that contract. Subsequently, PDN appealed that case, and the OPA ruled in that case that because the award occurred before PDN timely filed their appeal, the automatic stay provisions in 5 GCA 5425G did not apply. So that case is directly on point with the facts and circumstances in this case. And we would argue that the OPA should, use its well-reasoned application of the law in that case.
But GSA was a purchasing agency in
Correct.
That case.
Correct.
Okay. Now, there are some differences, albeit they're minute, between the Government of Guam procurement regulations and DOE's procurement regulations. So my question to you is about the same question I asked Mr. Foreman. Is there any DOE regulation which prohibits the awarding a contract after a protest has been denied, but before the appeal date to appeal to the OPA has expired?
Not that I'm aware of, but I would put forth that the guard in Article 9 does apply to DOE, and that's why we follow the procurement regulations in those sections, and also the statute 5 GCA 5425G.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No.
Okay. I have one more question. So let's talk a little bit about funding in your case. I believe you've also submitted a notice of funding source. And pursuant to that, when would have funding for this particular, when would you have to have committed the funds? Before the funding source went away?
September 30th, 2013.
this is one of those lingering era trust type funded projects. Would that be correct?
Yeah, it converted into the adequate education trust.
Okay. My other question is why couldn't this particular solicitation have been issued during the ARRA period?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not aware.
Because even looking at the timeline, I understand that they gave an extension, but even looking at the timeline, it would seem that this particular procurement is almost right up on the extension. Would that be fair to say?
Before the actual expiration date.
Okay. Well, all right. But like I'm just saying, is there any compelling reason why basically the solicitation is really beyond the ARRA period and almost to the end of the ARRA extension period?
I'm not aware. I can't give an answer to that.
All right. But your position, just so I understand as hearing officer, is that had the funds not been committed before the September 30, 2013 deadline, they would have been lost. Is that correct? Okay. Do you have anything else, Mr. Paris?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Foreman, you may have
Thank
some
you.
Rebuttal.
Mr. Camacho, since Mr. Paris was kind enough to provide the citation you asked me for that I didn't have handy, 5GCA 5425G. I had a chance to skim through his brief. I think he was the previous decision he was referring to, which we disagree with, but I believe OPA PA 0800. That's the Guam Publications Appeal.
08-00-00.
I think that's a typo.
I think it's
missing
a number.
Yeah, I think it would be missing a number. But, okay, so 08, it's one of the 2008 cases.
All right.
And that's the Guam Publications,
yes.
Or is that the Guam Publications Inc. case?
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, which is cited in his brief, even though we fervently disagree with it, but since he was kind enough to answer a question you directed to me, I'll try
okay.
to repay that favor before going back to disagreeing with it. I guess the one point I would want to emphasize is that in terms of trying to distinguish cases on...
Mr. Foreman, I'd ask you to sit down too. Just I we're less formal here, but the important thing is that
you need to be
in closer proximity to the microphone so we preserve the record of this hearing. Please proceed.
Oh, okay.
Did you capture his previous testimony? I'm pretty sure you did.
Yes.
Okay. Please proceed.
Oh, okay. Thank you. In terms of looking to whether or not an appeal was filed before a protest, before an award was made, as a determining factor, as DOE suggests, the problem there again is that it can completely cut off the right to appeal. A party is supposed to have 15 days to appeal. But we're seeing agencies, here I believe the award was made, at least notice of intent to award, the same day the protest. I think the actual award, same day the protest was denied. That was the same thing in JMI Edison, where the final signatures on the contract were obtained, I believe the same day the protest was denied. So again, for the right to appeal to have any meaning, the stay has to remain in effect. We would argue the full 15 days, but certainly, the agency should not be able to unilaterally terminate the procurement stay, within minutes or hours after denying a protest, and thereby cut off a possible appellant's rights and remedies. Okay. Thank you very much.
But let me ask you this, Mr. Foreman. So In this case, what the purchasing agency is really saying is that we had to commit the funds or we would lose them in their entirety. And I'm not going to the merits of that yet, so, you know, clearly if you wish to dispel that in a formal hearing, and certainly that's up to you. But let's assume, just for the sake of argument, okay, not binding, of course, that hypothetically is true. Are you saying then that a protest should be allowed then, if I follow your logic, in such a case where the agency, the 15 days, if they actually followed it after they denied a protest, would result in complete loss of funding, i.e., that's the end of the contract. Would you say that the procurement rules would reasonably result in that effect?
Well, I would say so if that's kind of the result of the agency assuming the risk of waiting till the last minute. Again, I wouldn't say there's any evidence to say that was intentionally done here, but it was determined the agency could somehow cut short the statutory appeal period by waiting until there's less than 15 days to open bids. I suspect we'd see agencies gaming the system by doing that. And I'd also note again, there's another analogy here to the JMI Edison case. Mr. Perez has been kind enough not to note that I was on his side of the issue on this case, representing the initial winning bidder, but you know, now I'm on the other side of the issue. But in the JMI Edison case, that was also the ARRA funds rolled over into the trust. In that case, the OPA ruled the stay was in effect, even though if the parties had it among themselves reached a last-minute settlement, the effect of the stay would have been to last run past September 30 and the funds would have expired. So in the analogous situation, the OPA has already ruled that, you know, the agency kind of proceeds at its own risk, that a bidder who protests does have a right to the statutory period of 15 days to appeal, and the state, and beyond that, you know, to appeal up to through the court system, and that the stay does run until appeals are abandoned or exhausted. And, you know, it's unfortunate if that leads to expiration of funds, but in the JMI Edison case, I believe there was $7.5 million approximately at risk that would have expired, you know, as a result of the procurement stay, but for the competing bidders, you know, and DOE, you know, negotiating a last minute settlement after the ruling by OPA that the stay was in effect. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you this. If, and let's just assume hypothetically here, okay, that their denial of the protest and their subsequent award, all before the, I believe it's a 14 or 15 day period to appeal to the OPA has expired, prevent the automatic stay from taking effect, what effect, if any, would that have on your ability to appeal it to the OPA? You still could, couldn't you? You did in this case, is that correct?
Yes.
And then even if the OPA issued you an adverse decision, how would that stop you from appealing to the Superior Court of Guam?
It doesn't stop an appeal so much as it limits remedies, the post-award remedies, being less than the pre-award remedies, especially if during the pendency of all these appeals, the contract's completed, you know, by the time we're done, there's, even if successful, there may be no contract to be awarded, you know, as a post-award remedy. Perhaps the only remedy might be bid cost, but there...
But there are still remedies, is that correct? Even if, okay, even if the protester were to file an appeal well after an award, there are still remedies available. Would you agree with that, according to Guam procurement law and regulation?
Yes, but very limited. And again, this was a factor, you know, raised in the JMI Edison, that, you know, the decrease, the substantial decrease in remedies of, you know, once a contract is substantially performed, you know, after, by the bidder who originally got the award, there's a successful protest doesn't have much left by way of remedy. You know, the successful appellant has no contract left to perform and be paid for. Or may have only limited parts that still haven't been completed by the time the OPA issues a decision.
Okay. Is there anything else, Mr. Foreman?
No, sir.
Okay. I will take this matter under advisement and be issuing a decision in writing concerning the motion. And are there any other issues we need to take up before we convene? As I stated earlier, we will not only be issuing that, but a notice of pre-hearing conference to be scheduled pursuant to the appellant's request for a formal hearing in this matter. Okay? And this matter is concluded for today. We are off the record at 9:30 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.